The screws just keep tightening on Facebook. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The pressure on Facebook just keeps growing. 37 state attorneys general have asked for answers. Now the Federal Trade Commission is investigating whether Facebook is properly handling its users' information and properly informing users of how that information is being used. That's just here in the U.S., mind you. Andrea Matuition is a former FTC senior policy advisor and now a law professor at Northeastern. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
You're a former FTC official. What can the FTC actually make Facebook do here?
The FTC's primary examination is going to look at the way that the company is dealing with consumers in the marketplace and whether there is something deceptive or unfair. Was the disclosure about privacy practices of the company accurate and fair, such that consumers had a fair shot to understand what was going on with their data? Because this is potentially a violation of a consent decree, in that circumstance, the FTC does have fining authority. And it also may enter into a secondary consent decree that would require additional concrete changes to its privacy practices, as well as potentially ratcheting up the terms of the privacy assessment that Facebook is required to undergo.
You've said this is a pivotal moment for Facebook. Do you think it's going to have to change its basic business model when everything is said and done?
I think at the end of the day, the Facebook board and its officers face a tough challenge because while the business model has been driven by maximal data extraction, consumers have always, rightly or wrongly, expected that there was a safety net of data care that pertained to their data. And so when consumers encounter an unexpected repurposing, such as the alleged usage by Cambridge Analytica, that trust conflict will result in Facebook's relationship with them as consumers being damaged.
All right. Andrea Matuition is a law professor at Northeastern and a former FTC senior policy advisor. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Sure. Thanks.
Later today, we get another number, the Consumer Confidence Index. The Conference Board is releasing its latest numbers on just how confident consumers are feeling about the U.S. economy. Analysts predict that we are all very confident. They expect the Consumer Confidence Index to reach an 18-year high. But here's the odd part. Consumer spending hasn't exactly kept up. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams explains why even confident consumers may not want to part with their cash.
Some retailers are wondering when that confidence will show up as higher sales. They had a good run leading up to the holidays, but things have kind of slumped since then. Jack Kleinhens, chief economist at the National Retail Federation, has an idea why.
Because what people say they're going to do and what they're going to do often are not the same.
And that's what these consumer confidence numbers really tell us, how people feel about the economy. But those feelings often get interrupted by real life.
There's always the weather. We can always blame the weather for some slowdown in retail sales.
Chris DeRitis is with Moody's Analytics. Another factor, he says?
We had some delay in tax refunds, especially for those filing for earned income tax credits.
So people might head out a bit later in the season to spend those refunds. But DeRitis expects sales will likely catch up to confidence, probably once the weather gets nicer. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Mass market retailers like H&M, Nordstrom's, and Macy's are continuing to close stores in 2018. But there's more behind it than just consumers ordering everything online these days. As Julia Picar reports from Portland, Oregon, shoppers' tastes are also changing.
About 40 women are gathered in a private home to preview a collection of bracelets, earrings, and purses.
Each piece was individually curated.
Michelle Reeves is the co-founder of an e-commerce fashion startup called The Accessory Junkie. In her pitch, Reeves talks about where these accessories come from and how they were made.
Everything is either one of a kind or highly limited.
One of the shoppers, Whitney Chapman, says she's impressed.
I've been able to travel a lot, and I've never seen those types of unique items all put together the way that they're doing it.
Personalized, tailored shopping experiences are a trend in fashion retail this year. That's according to McKinsey & Company's latest State of Fashion report. And it's what another shopper, Tammy Comer, says she wants. She used to look for bargains at the mall, but she doesn't feel good about that anymore. She also buys less stuff because she'd rather
have a connection to the things that you buy so that they actually are meaningful and not just throwaway things.
So the Accessory Junkie and other companies, Everlane, Stitch Fix, and M.M. Lafleur, market to individual tastes or values instead of stressing broad fashion trends. Michael Dart is a retail consultant with A.T. Kearney. His new book, Retail's Seismic Shift, looks at how shoppers' tastes are starting to fragment. He says traditional retailers are having trouble getting consumers in the door, even with steep discounts, because there are just too many options.
The challenge is the closets have filled up, and people now have a lot of basics. They have a lot of clothing that they're just not wearing often enough. And so they now look for something that is unique, that does tell a story, that has some authenticity, that has meaning. And that's where they're putting their dollars.
Dart says this shift is also weakening the trend-setting powers of long-established fashion houses. In Portland, Oregon, I'm Julia Picard for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.